Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
Good morning, we're live. Welcome to Save the Cowboy as I suddenly turn into a teenager. Yeah, my voice cracked. So, good morning, everybody. How are y'all? We got a good crowd here in Kiowa, Colorado. If this is your first time joining us online, welcome. My name is Kevin Weatherby. I'm the founder of Save the Cowboy. Save the Cowboy was founded in 2011 and has since grown into one of the largest and most recognized cowboy ministries in the nation. So I'm always reminded of when one of the disciples told another one, he says, "We found Jesus, the Messiah. He's from Nazareth." And somebody said, "What good can come out of Nazareth?" Well, that's kind of about like Kiowa. What good can come out of little old Kiowa, Colorado? Well, a national movement where people are dedicating their lives to following Jesus in an authentic message. And that's what we here at Save the Cowboy do. We spread the good news of Jesus Christ through the legacy, artistry, and traditions of the working ranch cowboy. And make no mistake about it, Save the Cowboy is a sick pen for sinners, not a show ring for saints. Right? Who's ready to learn a little bit about the kingdom parables in God? I am. All right, let's go. You got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be all over the place, but Matthew 25 is where we'll start. So this past week has been one of those just, yeah. You know, I was talking to Cammie last night on the phone, and we got to like looking, and since I went on my sabbatical, I don't know if I'll ever do that again because I still ain't slowed down since I got back from it in October. It just seems like one thing after another, but something exciting happened this week. A very first for me. I'm 23 years old, and every year, 23 years old, and for the first time in my life, somebody bought me a puppy that I picked out. First time in my life. First time. Now, I've been given other dogs, but I didn't get to pick them out. And some of them people picked out cool dogs. Some of them picked out stupid dogs. So now this one's always on me. As you know, I lost little Willie, my Chihuahua of over 10 years. I'd never had a dog over 10 years in my life because I always had to move, or one got run over by a trailer, or, I mean, you just know how it goes. So when I lost Willie on the day of my little sister's wedding, that was one of the toughest days of my life, trying to be happy for her, and my heart was literally just broken too. So on Tuesday, a few months ago, I guess it's probably 1st of January or something, Cammie, now she had been looking for Chihuahuas since we got the news that Willie died, and trying to make my heart feel better. And I was like, absolutely not. I ain't doing that. No way, no how. And so all this time, ever so often, she'd pull a Chihuahua up and go, "What about this one?" "No, it's not Willie. Not Willie." This goes on and on and on. And finally, about in January at some point, she's looking, and she was sitting at the table and I was sitting in my chair. And she goes, "Hey guys, did your wife ever do this?" She goes, "Hey honey," right? And then she starts walking over to your chair. Guess what? Now, guys, tell me if I'm wrong that you have already determined that your answer is going to be no, right? When she's walking over there, "Hey, honey," he's like, "Because what do you want, right?" She walked up, stood in front of me, said, "How about this one?" Turned it around, and I said, "Call him right now." So we made a mad dash on Tuesday to Lincoln, Nebraska in a severe weather warning, because it was literally the only time in the like next 3 weeks we could go get him. And so we made a mad dash in a snowstorm to go get him. And Lincoln, Nebraska, y'all get cold down there. My goodness, it was real cold. So we drove back. I didn't even drive home. I drove straight to the Denver Stock Show and dropped off Cammie at a dog show. And I ain't seen her since. And I'm not sure if she's ever coming home. Supposed to be today, but we'll see. We will see. Taylor, come here, baby. You just wait right there. Meet Crumb. Say hi, Crumb. That's $10. I got to raise money to pay for him, so please, after service, Taylor's going to be available with Crumb. It's $1 to look at him. It's $10 to use the words cute, precious, and adorable. And if you say, oh, what a tiny little guy, it's $100, okay? So please, a love offering for my new dog, Mr. Crumb. He's a long-hair, apple-head chihuahua, and he's 8 weeks old. No. Thank you, Taylor. And Taylor won the lottery of babysitting my puppy. Oh, Crumb's been a good boy. The good part about Cammy being at the dog show is that now I have really got him brainwashed to think that I'm the best part of the family, right? I'm trying to get that pre-programming in because all the dogs love Cammy. I want that dog to love me. So he's a good boy. He's a good boy at biting things. Did y'all see the video of that crazy fish that came down from the depths that lives in, and it had like all them teeth out? That is what Crumb looks like about 10:30 at night. He's a good boy at biting with razor sharp teeth. He's a good boy at snagging clothes. I wore a sweater. Four teeth and 32 toenails got caught in that sweater, and he liked to pull every thread out before we got him out of it. And the funniest part is he's a good boy, but he is a good, good boy at becoming a Tasmanian devil. Them wiener dogs, they do not know what to do with him. He hits them like a mini Tasmanian devil on Pop Rocks, Mentos, and Mini Thins. You ever seen a wiener dog have a come apart? I have. I turned this little thing that was going. I turned him loose into a bunch of weenie dogs, and I mean, he was like, okay, so some of y'all kids don't know what the Tasmanian devil is, but you Gen Xers and y'all from the late 1900s, y'all know he was this little cartoon guy that was like, I need to just run through anything. That's what happened whenever I turned him loose, and them wiener dogs scattered. One of them still ain't come out from behind the couch yet. Then he was laying down in my legs, and Bane, you know, I'm going to get a bumper sticker that says my other dog is a Malinois, just so that my man card doesn't get taken. You know what I mean? My other dog is a Malinois. So while Crumb was asleep in my lap and I'm studying, Bane was being a good boy laying on his bed, so I called Bane over to give him a little pat. And I guess when you're this big and suddenly there's an animal with a head larger than you, suddenly right next to you, he chihuahua'd Bane. I'm telling you what, he come up, la, 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 la. Bane was like, oh my goodness. He chihuahua'd Bane, and I Mr. Miyagi'd Crumb. I was like, ain't gonna be doing that. I ain't gonna have that kind of chihuahua. Here in a minute, he went back to sleep, so guess what? Come here, Bane. He walked over there, laid his head down. Crumb looked up, went right back to sleep. Like, yeah, boy. See my dog training? Y'all come to me too. He did have one accident in my bedroom on Friday. He dropped a dirt worm in my floor, but I shamed him real, real good. I went up to that little guy, and I got my mean daddy face on. You know, the kind that your wife uses at you when y'all are working cattle together. You know what I mean? And I said, did my little guy lose something, Wumpthin? It better be your spleen or else I'm going to start wagging my finger at you. You got to get a hold of these chihuahuas real quick. Show them who's boss, right? 3 minutes later, I'm like, you're the best boy in the world. You're just so cute. You're so precious and adorable. That's what happens when you have a puppy, right? It's the way it goes. It's the way it goes. Crumb isn't perfect. He's far from it. But you know what? He's perfect for me. And when he's perfect for me, it's easy to look beyond his mistakes, prolapsed spleens, dirt worms, and just love him anyway. See, that's how God loves us. That's how God loves us. Sure, he may get on to us sometimes, but even if he does, he's always kind and gentle. Anything else is from yourself or the devil, for there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You know that old thing that every single Christian in the world has ever said in some form or fashion? Yeah, God just took that baseball bat and hit me right upside the head with it. No, he didn't. That was your stupidity coming back and smacking you in the face, not God. You know those, oh, how could I be so dumb, right? See, God doesn't have a baseball bat. He has a love for you that you cannot comprehend. It's not based on anything you do, can do, will do, or anything else. He loves you because he made you perfectly for him. And he wants to spend every single day of every single hour right beside you and you beside him. Because that's what makes a great relationship. God has looked beyond every one of your mistakes, past, present, and future, just like I have with Crumb. He looks beyond our mistakes so that he can see the treasure that you truly, truly are to him. You are perfect for him. So let's dive into the parables. We're in the middle of a series of one of Jesus's most discussed themes, the kingdom of God. Last week, we talked about the seed grower, right? Some seeds fall on this, some seeds fall on this, right? We talked in length about that. And then the wheat in the weeds, where did anybody ever have that done to their high school where the opposing team at homecoming comes in like in July or August and writes the school logo in weeds on the football field so that when it starts growing up, it's a different color and their logo's permanently. Oh, y'all didn't do that? That must have been a Texas thing. Wow. Well, listen, Colorado, I got a good deal for y'all. Y'all meet me after service. $25, I'll tell you how to ruin your competition. The wheat and the weeds, where weeds were planted with the wheat and they had the same nutrients and they both grew up, but basically the harvester said, go get all the good stuff and burn the rest, right? It's an illustration. And then the parable of the mustard seed. And this isn't the faith of a mustard seed. This is the parable about the mustard tree, that it starts out so small and grows into something big, just like the kingdom of God does. So this week, I want you to watch out, because this week's parables, you're like, oh, dang, Jesus, you really just say that? Because I want you to listen to these very difficult parables, and I want you to see if you can listen in each of these three where God's love and kindness is towards his kids. And then I want to see if you can see the wrath in all these parables at those who rebel. In other words, who are not his kids. Okay? Because remember, God is kind, patient, loving, and good. But by no means is he playing around. That make sense? God is kind, patient, loving, and good. But by no means is he playing around, okay? Let's dive into today's parables. I'm going to read them to you out of the Simplified Cowboy Version. If you can do it in whatever version you want, and hopefully they'll kind of have the same meanings, but they won't have the same words. Let's dive into, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I usually don't read long passages, but parables are different. The parable of the three cowboys and their talents. And Jesus said, the boss's place is also like a rancher who went away and left three of his cowboys in charge of training the coming two-year-olds. He knew what each cowboy was capable of, so he gave the first cowboy five colts to break, the second cowboy three colts to break, and one colt to the third. As soon as the rancher was gone, the first cowboy broke all five of his colts and then swapped them for 10 unbroken colts. The cowboy with three colts did the same thing, but the cowboy with one colt was afraid to even work with the horse. He locked it in a stall so nothing would happen, nothing would go wrong, and the horse would be safe. He didn't ride it or even halter break it. When the rancher returned, he asked them about the horses he had assigned them. The cowboy who got five horses told about how he had done some horse trading and showed him the 10 saddle broke horses. The cowboy said, you gave me five horses that couldn't be ridden, and now you have 10 so that you can. Great job, the rancher said. I'm going to make you a full partner on this outfit. I put you in charge of just a little bit, but now I will be put in charge of more. Get your stuff, cowboy, out of the bunkhouse and put it in the big house, because that's where you're moving. The cowboy who had been given three colts walked the rancher to another set of pens. And the cowboy said, you gave me three horses that couldn't be ridden, and now you have six that you can. Great job, the rancher said. I'm going to make you a full partner on this outfit. I put you in charge of just a little bit, but now I'll put you in charge of more. Get your stuff, cowboy, out of the bunkhouse and put it in the big house, because that's where you're going. And the cowboy who had received one colt walked with the rancher over to the stall where he had kept the one horse. The cowboy said, "I know you're a hard man and don't tolerate excuses or shoddy work. I was afraid that something might happen to this colt, so I just kept him in here so he'd be safe." The rancher was furious and said, "You know, I'm a hard man and I don't tolerate or tolerate excuses or shoddy work. You could have at least broke this horse so I could use him during branding season coming up." Then the rancher said, "Take this colt and give it to the cowboy with the 10 horses. Everyone who risks everything for me will be given more, but those who are scared and cautious, all will be taken from them. I know city slickers who are better cowboys than you are. You're going to be thrown off this ranch where you will suffer in great pain and cry all day and night." God is kind, patient, loving, and good, but by no means is he playing, right? Y'all follow that story? I asked you to listen for God's loving kindness in these parables. Did you hear them? Did you hear any? Here's what I heard of the love and kindness and all, you know, patient, loving, good, all that. I heard that God is generous. He gave them the horses. They didn't have to earn them, did they? He didn't say, "Go out and earn you a horse to ride out here," and all that. No, he just came just willingly. Even the sorriest guy out of the bunch got something. If the sorriest guy out of the bunch gets something, maybe not in the amount that somebody else did, but everybody gets something. He gave them the horses. I also heard that God is lenient. God is lenient. Now, do y'all remember what statement gets made to me the most by people? Kind of a question statement. I've told it to you 1,000 times. "I just don't know what God wants me to do with my life." Right? We've all been there. We've all thought it, said it, whatever. Right? Did you know the answer to that question is in this parable? Because you see, God is lenient. Did he tell them what to do with the horses? No. He basically said, "Do whatever you want to with what you've been given." Not one time did he ever make any suggestions or demands. He just said, "Do something with these for me." God is lenient. You don't have to wonder what God wants you to do. He wants you to do whatever you want to do that falls in line with his life, way, and teaching. See, it's not that you don't know what God wants you to do. You haven't figured out that God just wants you, right? God is generous. God is lenient. And God is trusting, isn't he? He's trusting. He gave 5 horses to one guy, 3 horses to another, and 1 horse to another guy and said, "Adios, be back later." And he just left, right? He just left. Listen, God's not going to micromanage your life. He's not going to, "Okay, now Kevin, pick up the Q-tip. Okay, Kevin, now walk over to the trash, put it in the trash. Okay, Kevin, now with big hands, make the next point." Next point! It doesn't work like that, right? God is lenient. He doesn't care what you do. He cares that you do something with him, for him, the way he would want us to do it. Now, there's about a kajillion opportunities, but you don't have to go search them out. We'll get to that in a minute. God is generous, lenient, trusting, but God is also trustworthy. He said he would come back, and he did. He came back, but he didn't just come back. He came back with rewards, but he also came back with punishments. God is encouraging, and in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, and I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation this time, the master was full of praise. How many times have you heard a Christian say, "When I get to heaven, I just hope he says, well done, my good and faithful servant"? That's where this is. Is that what you want? I mean, come on, guys. If you don't want that, oh, this might not be the place for you, because you're going to hear about all the bad things that's going to happen to you if you don't want that. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate this together." And God is also rewarding. "I'll make you a full partner. Get your stuff and move into the big house." Did you know that all of this is literal? That everything that he's saying in there is literal? Because really, where this is found in Matthew 25, this is part of one of Jesus' sermons called the Olivet Discourse, where he talks about future events, okay? And he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he's talking about future events, and he's basically saying that when he comes back, people are going to be judged on if they followed God or not, okay? That it's not just a, you know, those people that, oh yeah, I believe in God, never once thinks about him, maybe twice a year when he's really in trouble and wants to blame him for a bad thing that's happening in his life, right? Well, he's talking about the future, because when the future comes, guys, because the way I teach it, and if I'm wrong, so what? It'll be something like this, because it's in the Bible. Then we get raptured, and then there's the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus comes back with all of us. We're going to be riding white horses. Not sure if God's ever ridden a gray horse, but sure enough, I guess if they're coming from him, they won't try to buck us all off. But we're going to come back and whoop the devil's butt with in the apocalypse, right? And then he's going to set up his kingdom, and every knee on earth will. And then, because we served him during this time, then we are going to be put in charge of other things. So what you will do in eternity will be an echo of what you do in this life. So why are you doing something you don't enjoy? And I'm not talking about for a living or anything. You'll be an echo. Eternity will be an echo. I will probably be doing something similar to what I'm doing. Ty's probably going to be taking care of the beef herd, which I don't think is fair, because nothing dies, everything's perfect, and he's got the easiest job in the world.
Finally.
But he also has to take care of sheep that won't die too. He will. That's where his humility comes in. Yeah. So God is also rewarding. I'll make you a full partner. Get your stuff and move into the big house. But I also ask you to be on the lookout for wrath, where God's not playing. Did you notice how God didn't get mad at what the third man did? What did he get mad at him for? Not doing something. That's what he got mad about. I think that guy probably could have said, you know what, boss? I put a halter on him and a little old kid can lead him. And the rancher would have been like, great, I'll be able to throw my little kid up there and walk him around. That would have been fine. But did you catch when Jesus says that those who are overly cautious and afraid will never see the kingdom of heaven? That's what that guy was. He was scared he was going to mess up. And I want you to think about how many times you don't spread the gospel because you're scared you're going to mess up. You're scared to say anything because it might not go like you want it to. Well, you're not Elijah. You don't know how things are going to go. You only know what you've been told to do. See, God doesn't ever get mad at a mistake made. He gets mad at mistakes that are a result of you not doing nothing. That's what he's trying to encourage us with. God didn't get mad at what the third man did. He got mad at what he didn't do. Listen, inaction, and I'm not talking about in the midst of action, I'm talking about the absence of action. Inaction is the greatest achievement of the apathetic man. Inaction is the crowning achievement of the apathetic man. Those that are too scared to make a mistake. We are more worried about our mistake than disappointing God. God will put, and this is what I meant earlier, so we can do whatever we want to do, right? We can do whatever we want to do. So what do we do? Listen, this is what I want you to do this week. You don't have to run around hitting everybody with the Jesus stick, okay? When your girl gives you your bacon, egg, and cheese croissant, you don't thank her for the bread of life that Jesus died on the cross for, okay? I'll get out of the car if you do that. I'll walk home. Here's your order, sir. Thank you for the bread of life that I take. Will you have communion with me while we think about the suffering of Jesus on the cross? Do not evangelize like that. That's dumb. Yeah, this is how you do it. You go through life. You just do whatever you need to do. You don't worry about nothing else. And God is going to put opportunities in front of you. And you're going to kind of see something and you're going to think, oh man, should I pray for that person? Should I say something? Understand that those are opportunities God is placing in front of you. That's your horse. What are you going to do with that opportunity that he's given you? Are you going to do anything with it? Because smiling and nodding, yeah, That's keeping it alive, locked in a stall so that nothing happens, right? God's not worried about you making a mistake. He's worried about you doing nothing. Guys, he like, you're all worried about, well, what if I do this? What if I do that? God's like, who cares? Do something. God's not worried about you making a mistake. He's worried about what it does to your soul when you do nothing. God's wrath is revealed in that there are no second chances. Do you notice that when the boss got back? He didn't offer him, now get back out there and break that horse before I kick you off this place. No, he didn't. God's wrath is revealed in that there are no second chances when the boss comes back. God is kind, patient, loving, and good, but by no means is he playing around. We're going to do one more here. The parable of the unforgiving son of a gun. And this is found in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Pete came up to Jesus and asked, if a cowboy just keeps doing me wrong, how many times do I have to let it go? 7 times? Jesus replied, no, Pete, not 7 times, every time. The boss's place is like a rancher had loaned money to some of his cowboys. He wanted to settle up the accounts before winter came on, and he talked to a cowboy who owed him $10,000. The cowboy wasn't able to pay the money, so the rancher told his foreman to go and get every horse the cowboy owned, his horse trailer, his saddle, and his truck, and sell them all so he could get his money back. Well, the cowboy got down on his knees and just begged the rancher not to take everything he owned and told him that he would repay every dollar. Well, the rancher felt sorry for the cowboy and decided to cancel the whole debt. When the cowboy left the headquarters, he was so relieved at being forgiven of his debt, but then he ran into another guy who owed him $100. He reached out and grabbed the fellow by the throat and told him he'd better pay him his $100. The guy told him he didn't have the money right then, but that he would pay back every cent. But the cowboy would have none of it. He went and took the only horse the man had and sold it for $100. Some other cowboy saw this and they went to the rancher and told what had happened. The rancher called the cowboy in who had had all of his $10,000 debt canceled and said, you are one sorry son of a gun. I canceled your whole debt of $10,000 even though you had plenty of your own horses and even a truck and a brand new trailer. Then you went and took a man's only horse from him because he owed you $100. The rancher then had the guy beaten until he could pay back every cent he owed the rancher. This is how my father will run things on his ranch for those who don't let things go when they themselves have been forgiven. See, God's loving kindness in this parable can be shown, and God is merciful. He forgives us our debts, all of them, no matter the cost, as long as we come to him. We also find out that God is fair. He never asks us to do something that he hasn't done already. I want you to think about, you know, all the things God asks you to do, okay? And then I want you to listen to this list of the things God has done for you. Think about everything God's asking you to do, and then look at this little list of what God has done for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. We don't forgive because we're told to. We forgive because we've been forgiven. Which one of those guys are you like? Are you the unmerciful cowboy that gets all of his debts erased so that you may have everything in heaven? God hands us everything and rewards us for even shoddy work down here in his name? Yeah, I think so. See, we don't forgive others. We become that unmerciful cowboy, demanding from others what we've already been given ourselves. And I want you to know that forgiveness is not a decision. It's a choice, and it's a journey. Depending on that pain of what that person did to you, depending on the pain, that journey may take the rest of your life. But take the journey. Take the journey. See, God's asking you to get lined up with the kingdom of God. He's asking you to do things his way. And just like Crumb, you're going to have growing pains. anybody else in here have some growing pains? That means there's only a few of you that's growing. Because if you don't have growing pains, you're not growing. And I don't mean that ugly. It's just something to, I'm more smooth out most days from the growing pains. And just like Crumb, you're going to have some growing pains. But you know what? You are perfect for God. Don't ever forget that. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for what you've done in our lives, and I thank you for this congregation. God, I want to thank you for bringing Garrett Wiebe all the way out from Oregon to worship with us today. And God, we lift up one of our Long X Ranch Cowboys, Mike Taylor, has a surgery coming up. We're going to be remembering him in our prayers, and we ask all of y'all too as well. And then also Sherilyn and Andy are traveling home. If you remember last week, she lost her mom. And God, we pray for her and that whole family. And God, all Jimmy DeCasper, God, we lift him up to you today as he's fighting a grave illness. And God, we just know that there's so much pain and suffering in the world, but you are the light. You are what makes it perfect. And God, I'm just going to say it in case nobody else does. Jesus, we want you to come back right now. But until you do, we're going to keep fighting the fight. We're going to keep walking the walk. We're going to keep riding the ride. We're going to give everything we got every day. And if we only got 20% that day, we're going to give all 100% of that 20%. And we're going to depend on God for the strength and comfort that comes from it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.